morning, good afternoon, and good evening to you all. This is the Business Day Spotlight, your destination for African business made simple. My name is Mdiwa Gawaza, and for today, we do get into a fascinating discussion, with one of the country's foremost business leaders, that is Muteto Nyati. I think the last time that we spoke to him on this particular platform, he had just released a book. It's called Betting on a Darkie. We went to the offices then. He was CEO of Altron, and he's had quite a storied career in the world of technology in South Africa. Formerly CEO of Altron and formerly CEO of MTN South Africa, as well as managing director of Microsoft South Africa. And now, he's recently left Altron and now looking at a new phase, that has seen a number of roles coming his way. And we're just going to be understanding what is going on in this new phase in his life, and part of that key into that life is investments that he's making in the world. Teto, how are you today?
Matiwa, thank you so much for having me. Yeah, it's how time flies. I remember it was almost 2.5 years ago. Oh, yes. So we had this discussion around the book, and a lot has happened since then. Yes. Yeah, I'm good, thank you.
No, thank you so much for taking your time, to be with us. Mm-hmm. And I think some might be curious if you now have more time because you're no longer at Altron, or do you have less time, are things roughly the same? Because you haven't just taken out one role, you've expanded into other roles.
Yes. I think what I have, I probably have same time I used to have, but the way I've allocated my time, I'm allocating it in the way that I want it to, versus it being structured in one particular way, which is, I'm a 9-to-5 kind of a thing. So I've got a lot of, I'm doing the things that I enjoy doing and putting my time to the things that I care about the most right now.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And when it comes to the things that you care about the most, mm-hmm. you've always been in technology.
Yes.
You've never veered away. Yes. Other people might go into retail and do other things, but you've always been in ICT.
Yes.
And now, I think one of the big pieces of news is the fact that you're now an investor and chairman of BSG.
Yes.
So many questions, but I think I'm going to start off with, rationale. Yes. I've always known BSG from what you call this software and system integration, sort of point of view.
Yes.
I remember when I was at Rhodes studying information systems, they used to come consistently every single year, to try to do, they would actually do a couple of lectures with us, about their business. So I always knew it from way back then, so it's very interesting to see, that particular move. So I guess the question on everyone's mind, is why BSG?
Yes. So when I decided to leave Altron, I was very clear that I needed to do a role that is completely different from the previous CEO roles that I've occupied. I wanted to have a significant skin in the game in whatever I do, And I looked for the appropriate vehicle for me to do that. The starting point for me was, what is it that I stand for as Mteto. And also looked at what the other companies, what is their purpose, what is their passion. I found that there's alignment between my personal values and this one of BSG. BSG is a company, as you have rightly pointed out, just right now, it's a company that deeply cares about South Africa and is investing on South Africans and is putting a lot of work on making sure that it's helping its clients to implement strategy, And this is probably the biggest challenge that is facing many organizations in South Africa, where people have got these lofty and great ideas, but are unable to implement them.
Yeah.
And we become partners to these companies. And in the past 25 years, we have largely been in the financial services and also healthcare space. Yeah. That's where we are. And yeah, that, and to me, to see a company that is a South African company investing and recruiting and hired South Africans, right? And if you look at them, like when they were going to Rhodes, they were busy trying to bring in the top talent from those institutions. Yeah. And there's no focus on color. They're just looking at great South Africans that want to contribute. And that's what you see when you get into this company. You see South African company, you know? And that is something that is quite special. In an environment where we come from, where race has been an issue, here you've got you know, a very, very inclusive environment, company that cares about that, world class in terms of delivery. Those things, they talk to me, and I felt that this vehicle, through it, I can influence so many other South African companies that want to be successful through the partnering with us, you know. So the impact, as much as this were relatively small, that 160 man company, you know, with those few people, we are able to have such a huge impact. So that's what attracted me here.
I think my, what you call this, my understanding of the organization, as you can imagine, because of that life in information systems, I have a lot of people that I went to school with that ended up working in the, you know, working in the firm. It sounds like they punch above their weight.
Very much.
Quite a bit.
I mean, this is a company that is very, very much, if you compare it with the global consulting firms, it's up there with those global consulting firms.
Yeah.
It's one of those well-kept secrets. And for me, I'm saying, we cannot be afford to be a secret. You know, we have to be able to move beyond the two sectors that you are currently strong in. We are currently strong in, because the kind of work that we do applies right across the pain that many South Africans are going through of inability to implement strategy. You'll find it in telcos. You'll find it in retail. You'll find it everywhere. You know, so our influence, our impact should be spread. You are absolutely correct. It punches above its weight, but very, very, very selective when it comes to the kind of people that they bring in here.
Yeah, no, most certainly. And especially on what you call this, retaining the talent, I think from what I hear, they're good at that particular piece, because this is a very competitive industry. When you talk to ICT leaders, one of the big pain points is that retaining talent, finding the talent is one thing, but retaining the talent
is a tough one. There are people here who have been here from 25 years ago.
Wow.
They're still here.
Yeah.
The same with customers. Some of the customers, we got them 1997. We still have the same customer. So the focus on people is the big differentiator that we have here, where we allow individuals to continue to be themselves. We're not like making them this thing that they are not, you know, creating that environment, which is more about a growth, you know, we talk about growth conversations that we have with our employees versus, you know, have performance management. This, you know, I remember when I was still at Microsoft, you referred to Microsoft.
Yes.
We had a very, very strong focus on people as well at Microsoft. And we won Deloitte at the time, used to run this thing called Deloitte's Best Company to Work For. They had three categories, small, medium, and large firms. And I think we were in the medium size category. We won there. And BSG at the time, they won one of the categories, you know, and that's when it's like, wow, here is this South African company is able to compete with like these global players, you know, that to me just struck me, you know.
One of the key questions, because I think we now understand the rationale of what it is, you know, that attracted you to the company, what it the what you're seeing, you know, the resources, but pointing to the future, because obviously you don't invest in a company like this out of nowhere. You're seeing something in it.
Yes.
And one of the things that you've just mentioned now is growing beyond the two, your two strongest sectors, that includes financial services.
Mm.
Is there, do you see a sector by sector type of approach and specialization, or do you see a more, I don't want to use the word generic, but more across the board type of approach to how you want to go to market?
I think our approach to consulting, the engagements that we have, it's rooted a lot on data.
Yeah.
We are led by insights. So we gather data, and that data then gives us insights, then which then helps us to point the company that we're working with, that this is these interventions that you should be taking, but guided by the insights.
Yeah.
So those companies where you already have significant amount of information, you know, data, is the ones, those are the sectors that typically would talk to us. For example, financial service, that's why we're strong.
Yeah.
Healthcare, again, data heavy. Telecommunications, another very much data heavy sector. Retail,
is
another one. If you're looking at oil and gas, is another. So we're guided by that. We're starting from a point of our strength and using that point of strength to go and engage. You know, if you go to manufacturing, manufacturing today is still not in South Africa, to say, it's not as transformed digitally as the other sectors.
Yeah.
So it would not really talk a lot more. You know, our approach may not be that strong in that kind of an environment. But that's what is going to be driving us. If you were thinking about, let's say, in the public sector, a home affairs would be a great environment. A SASLA would be another, because those are data heavy.
Lots of data points.
Yes. And by just using that data, you'd be able to help guide these companies to do so much more. You know?
So it's actually a very interesting approach. You take your strength, and then that strength guides you about where it is you're going to go, into the market.
Yeah.
And on that, actually, I think I skipped it earlier on, right? Your investment in BSG, what does that actually look like? You've taken an equity stake. How much is that equity?
Yeah.
And your chairman role.
Yeah.
Executive, non-executive.
Yeah. Okay. So when after deciding that this is a company that I would like to buy a stake in, of course, we have the negotiation. I settled on a 40% shareholding in the company. So I'm a co-owner. And it's about another 15% belonging to employees of the company, and another, the remainder is divided across two shareholders, you know. And so we then made a decision that I should step in as an executive chair to help guide the strategy of the business. Well, that's probably the big thing that I'm bringing here, you know, the ability to see, you know, ahead, and then guide the teams to be able to go and achieve what we see as our vision. The other thing I just want to share is that we are a medium-sized company.
Yeah.
We, of course, aspire to be much bigger than this. And by bigger, it will be more like the companies that I have worked for.
Yes.
So for me, I say that I've got a memory of the future. You know, the future that BSG wants to have, I have a memory of that. I've lived in that future.
Yes.
So I will be able to guide them to that future.
Yeah.
And to avoid some of the mistakes sometimes get made as you're trying to grow your business. We want to be international, you know, and we already have presence in the UK. We want to strengthen that presence there. But sometimes people, as they do geographic expansion, they have become big mistakes that they have made. You know, we don't want to go through some of those pains, you know, want to learn from the mistakes some of the people. So that's the stuff that I'm bringing in. The other thing is to have processes that are not dependent on individuals.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Just make it should not be. Oh, if Nteto is not here, then you know start. Yeah. No. We should have an organization that functions regardless of who is in here. So putting together processes that helps us to be consistent in our approach to doing things. That's another thing that I'm bringing from large enterprises to an organization like this one. Yeah.
One of it's. Allow me to. Not pushback, pick your brain, yes, you know, yeah, on the, what you call this, on the scaling bit.
Yeah.
Because it sounds like you want to help, you know, this company to scale, to, you know, grow, yes, to be a bigger firm beyond being mid-sized,
yes,
the way that it is. Yes. Some people would argue to say that being small, being nimble, you know, being a boutique, yes, type of consulting firm, it has more advantages than trying to become an Accenture or one of those big ones. Keen to get your thoughts on that.
In terms of size, we aspire to be like them,
yeah,
but not in terms of the way they work.
Okay.
So our culture,
yeah,
we will hold that culture so dearly. You know, we'll have to protect it. You know, the way we do things cannot change. That's because now, you know, we're this big company. So our values need to continue to be there. We have to continue to be nimble.
Mm.
You know, you can be big, but be able to dance as well. You know, so that is the design. Those are some of the design principles that we're bringing here. You know, we have to continue to, like we do now, just let people have the freedom to be able to do things. And that freedom always comes from them having a deep understanding of the values. You know, you don't have to have rules. Once you people have these shared values, within those values, they know what to do. You don't have to be telling them you have to do this and do that, you know. And that's the kind of a company that we will continue to have. So yes, we will be large, but the big piece will always be this South African company.
Mm.
We are not going to be trying to, you know, take a template from elsewhere and trying to force it to environment here. No. We listen, make sure that you understand the context under which our customers are operating. And that, I think, is one thing that has kept us going,
yeah,
and differentiating us in this market.
Okay. No. It sounds like a good, it sounds like there's a roadmap. And I'm pretty sure that, you,
yes,
know, you've spent a lot of time,
yes,
thinking about this. And that's actually a curiosity on my end.
Mm.
There's usually a big lag time between when we get an announcement,
yes,
and when,
yes,
initial talks. How long has this been in the pipeline?
Yeah. You know, I think you're probably the first person to ask me that. And that's insightful of you.
Yeah.
When I announced my exit from Altron, that was in January.
Yes.
We started this discussion.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But we really moved on having now the discussion around the transaction when I left Altron end of June.
Mm. Yeah. And are there any appetite to, you know, any other investments, you know, for yourself, or is this the main thing at the moment?
Yeah, for me, you know, I always say that if you're focusing on everything, you're actually focusing on nothing.
Yeah.
You know, the one who is everywhere is nowhere.
Yeah.
Yes. So I try to be focused, laser focused when I do things.
Yeah.
So this to me, BSG is going to be that vehicle which we need to continue to grow.
Mm.
So there will be investments. Our growth is not always going to be through organic growth.
Mm.
There's going to be acquisitions. And that's another big factor when I looked at BSG, the strength of this balance sheet, you know. It's something that is quite interesting, you know, coming out of COVID, but having a company that's very, very so strong. So we have to make that balance sheet work for us by helping us to acquire in areas where we believe we've got gaps, you know. So we're going to be seeing some activities from BSG, around BSG. Around BSG.
Yeah. Okay, so BSG led, you know, strategy
exactly.
From your point,
yeah,
of view.
Because the thing that's going to guide us is when we look at our customers, what is it that they expect of us? Mm. When if they're expecting all of this, and we can today, our capabilities can only give that. Where there's gaps, that's where we're going to fill those gaps.
Mm. Yeah. Okay. BSG-led, you know, type of investment strategy from your point of view.
Yes.
And I think it's related, you know, to this at the moment. It's a mindset question that I wanted to get, because right. when you got into when you got into Altron,
yes.
it was famously because there was an investor that advocated to say we need a turnaround expert yes. to come in
yes.
and yes. do something.
Yes.
When you got to MTN, there was a bit of strife
yes.
between the company and employees, all
yes.
of that.
Yeah.
But now you find yourself in what appears to be a relatively calm ship.
Yes.
You know, everything is working.
Yes.
You know. How is that? Is that
so that was interesting because that's what I said to the team here, in saying that, you know, I've always been attracted to things that don't work.
Yeah.
But here you've got an environment that works, mm-hmm. you know, and that's the difference. Here our challenge is different. It's a challenge of just growing mm-hmm. and having an impact that is way beyond what we currently have now, you know, and that is a very interesting angle for me, you know, helping scale a business, helping with the impact, but the most of the work that I'm going to be doing is going to be enabling and supporting teams. You know, I really, really enjoy just sharing and coaching and guiding people and transferring knowledge. And in this environment, we've got so many people that are so hungry, you know, and we've also got very relatively young people as well, you know, and it's so great to be in that environment where you are able to impact them
yeah.
and start to hopefully see their careers take off, you know. And so that's an interesting phase of my life, which is not about just fixing, but really building the next generation of leaders, that some of them may move beyond BSG mm-hmm. and go elsewhere, but wherever they are, you know, the guidance that one would have given them, it will always help them to be successful in their environments.
Mm-hmm. And related to the leadership issue,
yes.
right, in terms of, you know, guiding companies and the leadership,
mm.
You decided to lend yourself,
yes.
to take a step back out of BSG.
Yes.
You've decided to lend yourself to two other organizations,
yes, yes.
both of them state affiliated,
yes.
One in ICT, that's
yes.
Telkom, you
yes.
know, on their board.
Yes.
I think that was the first thing that we heard
yes.
from your departure.
Yes. Yes.
I'm tempted to say why Telkom, but it makes sense because you have the telecoms, what you call this, background.
So Mudiwa, when I made this decision around January that I'm going to be an active investor.
Yeah.
But I also want to keep myself busy and be, you know, be engaged in the market, the broader market.
Yeah.
I felt, okay, I will accept non-executive directors in the environments where I have not really had experience.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. So now, like you say, two, but it's actually three. There is Nedbank.
Okay.
I yeah. sit on the Nedbank. You know, for me, I'm fascinated by that financial services space. Mm. So there's so much that I'm going to learn there, but there's so much that I'm also going to give there, because
yeah.
it's an industry that depends a lot on technology, mm. right? So that win-win is something that then you have Telkom, which did not quite fit, because I used to be in, you know, there's some, what is it that I'm going to really learn?
Yeah.
But this is I look at this company as it's one of those great South African companies that also has not really fully realized its potential.
Yeah.
And And it would really be good to be part and parcel of a team that is helping this company to find its place. Yeah. And that's really the thing that drives me to, you know, I love the leadership team there. I would like to, you know, work together as we work with the board to support them to be successful and find their place, you know. And so that's really the interest there. Eskom was never a planned thing. It's just one of those things that you get a call, and when you get that call, you have a meeting, and people just explain what, you know. They don't even have to explain too much because I'm experiencing the challenges of Eskom.
We all are.
So if you are being asked and you know that there is something that you can contribute, you know, I just decided, look, as much as this, I did not plan this thing, I think I can add a little value here. Let me be part of a team that was working on this. Yeah, it's just one of those things that I felt I should not just be complaining outside. I should be part of the solution.
Okay.
Yeah.
I want to drill down. Telkom has been in the news. Mm-hmm. Instead of asking you about, you know, MTN and, yeah, you know, that deal, just your thoughts around the structure of the market at the moment. There's a lot being said about value unlock. There's a lot being said about fiber, 5G, mm-hmm, you know, all of that. And because I'm pretty sure, specifically telecoms, mm-hmm, because you've always had what you call this. Mm-hmm. You've been in ICT this entire time, but specifically being in a telco, there's probably a bit of a shift from when you were at MTN, yes, to when, yes, now you are lending your expertise over at Telkom.
Mm. I think the key now, we are at a point where scale matters.
Yeah.
Now, you know, and to get to that scale, there are many different ways of doing that. You can have a shared infrastructure environments where you know, like what Cell C has done together with MTN.
Yeah.
You know, that's another way of getting scale without, you know, the benefit for Cell C is that they are not making the capex. You know, and they are focusing more on the customer side. But scale matters as we go forward. Scale matters because the costs have to come down. But also, in a telco, there is also positionings. You know, there are those telcos that are going to be super focused on customer experience and this, you know. Others going to be about being low cost. Others are going to be, you know, value, you know. So they're all of those things that are happening. At the back also, there will be some telcos that, you know what, we will focus on infrastructure. You know, that infrastructure being fiber, it could be data centers as well. You know, there's a connection around all of those things. And I've seen in other countries where, you know, people, some telcos decide we are going to be very strong on the infrastructure side. And yeah, that means investing in the fiber, investing data centers, and we will collaborate and work with the cloud, the hyperscalers, you know, the Googles of this world,
yeah,
the Microsoft, and, you know. So there is all sorts of things that are happening, and it's just a matter of you choosing the thing, the position that talks to your strength.
Yes.
And then you take that position and you go and you stay the course, mm-hmm, you know, and that's what is we're going to see happening. And beyond that, I cannot say more.
Okay.
Yeah.
It is very interesting just to see all of the things that are happening, you know, in the ICT space. And the reason I like technology is that technology is now cutting across, you know, financial services, retail, yes, telco.
It's everywhere.
It's everywhere.
You know, I remember, sorry, Motiva.
Yeah.
I remember having a conversation with some colleagues in government and saying, you know, maybe electricity, power,
yeah,
is the single most important thing for our economy.
Yeah.
But maybe the second single biggest thing is digital skills.
Yes.
Because if I think of all industries depend on digital, whether you're talking agriculture, health, and if we are not going to address this issue of lack of digital skills, we are going to be left behind, much as we are having a challenge around electricity. So we need to tackle that. That's why we came up with there's a group of people who is an organization called Digital Work Accelerator.
Yeah.
You know, where we are pulling resources, both private sector and public sector, just focusing on this problem and trying to solve it. The good thing about trying to solve this is that if you address it, you are also addressing the unemployment problem, right? You know, for so many young people that want to contribute but are unable to contribute in terms of the economy, and there are possibly 300,000 or 400,000 digital jobs that if people were there, they would be hired today, right? So yeah, we need to find a solution to that, and we're working on that.
No, most certainly. I think as we are wrapping up the discussion, there's only two things. The first one, you know, is around, I'm not Eskom per se, but power,
right?
You know, in the country, we've now entered a phase where we've liberalized the market.
Right.
I think it's big news.
That's a good thing for the economy. Hey?
Yeah.
It's a good thing for our country. It's a good thing. Plus, the president in Egypt, they announced that the just transition, and plus the support that we are going to get around that transition. This is so big, you know. Yes, we may think that, hey, what will happen to, you know, to the coal? It's going to take years years for us to make this transition. So it's not going to be an overnight thing. What is good about what is happening is that new industries are going to be coming up, you know. It could be around batteries, it could be around storage, it could be around solar. All of these are new things that will require people to go and work in. You know, it's a new era, and we need to lead this new era. And the world has given us an opportunity to take the lead and participate and giving us the support.
Yeah.
So great. Plus the fact that, as you are rightly saying, anybody can generate electricity now. You know, it's open, you know, and that's great. That's fantastic.
Yeah, because I was going to try and pick your brain on, you know, what type of power infrastructure do we have in the future, right? And the reason I'm asking that is to say, because of all these new industries that you're bringing in, people say that Africa should have been leading on solar, you know, from a long time ago. There's, you know, batteries, all of that stuff. Do we end up being everyone being an IPP? You know, me at my house, the neighborhood, the complex, everyone just generating their own little small pockets of power? Or do we have, you know, hub and spoke, you know, around the country? How do you see that? Yeah.
My sense, nobody knows, but my sense is that we are going to have the hub and spoke environment where you've got small players, but not everybody generating their own electricity. We will be, some of us will continue to be just consumers and buying it, but there will be those who are making investments in such a way that they produce not just for themselves, but for others as well.
Yeah.
And there will be a lot of that. And that should be encouraged, you know, because it de-risks the country from being dependent on any one particular source. It also enables, you know, in the free market, it enables people to go and you know, employ and create new companies. So that's a great space to be in. So that's what I see, where there will be a lot of small players. They will continue. I mean, Eskom is a big company and will continue to be a dominant player. If you think 10, 15 years from now, it will continue to be a significant player in this economy.
All right. So I think that brings us to the end of the discussion. It's been very fascinating just chatting to you, Mteto, about this new phase, you know, in your life. And that's actually where I wanted, you know, to end off today's discussion, to round everything up. You know, have you given this new phase of your life a name yet? Because at some point they looked at you as a turnaround expert. There was a period of the learning period, an apprenticeship period, getting into corporate period. There was the leadership CEO period. What are you calling this? Are you now the investor? Are you now the, or are you saying I don't want any labels?
I'll prefer not to have a label, because I think the big focus that I'm having is that one of giving back and giving back, not as in like, you know, this is more transferring knowledge to the next generation of people. That's I'm building other leaders largely. That's what I'm doing. And I'm supporting other leaders. You know, it could be as a board member sitting somewhere there. You know, this is really trying to find a way to help people to be successful, right? So that's the kind of thing that I'm doing, very much of supporting and helping other people to really make it in life.
All right. So that's been it. Very fascinating discussion. We were talking to Mteto Nyati, who is now the chairman of BSG, giving us some insight into this new phase in his life. He doesn't want to put a label on it, but you know, he says one of his big missions at the moment is equipping and building, you know, leaders. And I definitely see that one, because he's always been staunch about leadership, always spoken about leadership. So to see it happening proactively and in action, you know, it's really great. And also, you know, seeing a company like BSG and saying that, you know, I want to actually have skin in the game, you know, investing in the company and actually trying to help it to scale, you know, for this. And I'm sure for him, it's going to be an interesting challenge. You know, he says he's always been attracted to things that don't work, but now he's found something that, you know, does work. And the challenge is, how do you make it work better and on a bigger scale? So it would be very interesting to see how that goes, and also how he's lending his leadership skills and abilities, you know, to other companies, Nedbank, Telkom, and to Eskom, and, you know, how all of that is bringing it together. Because I'm pretty sure at the end of the day, these are all different roles, but they are all pointed towards one person who's helping all of the different experiences, you know, guide him in what he's doing, and also at the same time helping in the other direction, helping those different institutions to move, you know, in the direction that they are going in. So Mteto, thank you so much for sharing your time with us, and you know, sharing your insights and your thoughts. We thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Mateo. Thank you for having me.
And that's been it for this edition of the Business Day Spotlight. Remember that you can find our latest podcast on Business Live. That's under the podcast Business Day Spotlight tab on Twitter. We're hashtag BD Spotlight. And remember that you can review and subscribe for free on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, wherever you choose to get your pods casted. Thank you to our amazing team. Our producer is Paige Muller. I've been Mudiwa Gavaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail. And this has been another edition of the Business Day Spotlight, which is a multimedia live production. So from myself and the rest of the team, it is a good evening, good afternoon, and good morning.